and I was so much on social media, and I saw the people, and it just got worse and worse.
Digital loneliness.
It can lead to panic attacks, crying, flashbacks, shivering, losing the sense of reality, of the presence.
About reconnecting with the real world.
I spend not more than 5 hours a day on my telephone. Mm-hmm. I think it's quite a lot, and I like to spend my time more with my friends.
This is a radio feature by Hannah Kastner, Isis Lauermann, Anke Mandel, Emily Patek, Sarah Roland and Clemens Schreiber.
In Austria, loneliness is more common than it seems. According to the Austrian social aid organization Caritas, around 7% of people admit to feeling lonely. Especially young people suffer from loneliness caused by the rising cost of living and the COVID pandemic. One of them is 23-year-old Sylvie Sorko. We meet her outside at her favorite spot in Vienna.
We're at Schönbrunn and we're like going towards the Gloriette. And it's really nice because it's getting spring now, so there are already some flowers there. And we're going to the bench where I'm always sitting when I'm doing my little walk.
Sylvie Sorko moved from East Tyrol to Vienna 4.5 years ago. The city offered new opportunities, but also new challenges. Since then, she's been grappling with waves of loneliness that come and go. In a city of 2 million people, it's easy to feel invisible. And for Sylvie, social media has often made the feeling worse, not better. Platforms that promise connection can sometimes deepen the sense of being left out.
Especially last summer, there was like a very depressive episode of mine, and I was a lot on social media and I was consuming way too much. And especially in summer when everyone is doing things, and that was also a time where my friends were all traveling with other people or traveling alone. So I was kind of like alone at home in summer and like also not very good with my mental health and yeah.
What Sylvie experiences has a name. Digital loneliness. It describes the paradox of feeling isolated and emotionally disconnected, even while spending hours connected through digital devices. But digital loneliness doesn't follow a clear pattern, and it doesn't fit the cliché of someone with no friends or family. Some people have active social networks online and still feel deeply alone. Clemens, our colleague, tests if the new artificial intelligence chatbots can help against loneliness.
I want to see what kind of advice an AI chatbot gives when I say I feel lonely and need someone to talk to. On Character AI, where users have created over 10 million AI characters, I choose one called Someone to Talk To. So let's start chatting.
If you feel lonely or sad or need someone to talk to, I'm here to talk with you or listen. If you just want to let everything out, just say a word.
Despite all the digital tools out there, some have little to no real contact at all. That's what Julia Dier explains. She's a psychotherapist based in Vienna, and her area of expertise is loneliness.
If you think of physical loneliness, it's usually connected with having no one to talk to. In the internet, you scroll up and down the whole day and you look at what your friends are doing, but there's still no interactivity. You might seem to have a lot of friends, to be very active, but sometimes you can feel unseen, so this can lead to loneliness.
Interestingly, it's not old people who feel the loneliest, but young adults, aged 18 to 29. When everyone expects you to have the time of your life, it's tough to admit that you're lonely. We see that in Sylvie too.
I do talk to one of my friends about it sometimes, but I feel like that's such a sensitive topic to talk about, because the thing is, sometimes I feel like I don't have the right to feel lonely, because it sounds like I'm not having friends, but I do have many friends. So I'm sometimes a little bit embarrassed to say that I'm lonely, because I'm like, I do have everything I need and I have so many people that care about me. Like, I feel a little bit embarrassed to say it out loud.
Lisa had a similar experience. We are not allowed to mention her full name. She's 21, a student, and we met her on a sunny afternoon near her flat in the 11th district in Vienna. We decided to go for a walk in her favorite park nearby the Prater and sat down on a bench surrounded by trees. Whenever she needs to calm down, she spends some time in nature. Lisa moved from the countryside to Vienna a year and a half ago. At first, everything was new, the city, the people, the pace of life. And like Sylvie, Lisa felt lonely. But she didn't dare to talk about it.
I never told my family, because my family kind of worried about me, because they noticed that I was sad, but they just thought it was because I didn't get along super well with my flatmates, or they also thought that I was stressed out because of university. And I just didn't tell them that I didn't really have like this clique of friends. And sometimes my mom would actually ask me, so yeah, what did you do on the weekend or so? And I was just like, yeah, I just like talk to people, which is so sad, because I lied to my mom and just made up friends that I never had in the first place. But I didn't want to tell my parents that I didn't have any friends, because that was so shameful for me for some reason.
For my imaginary friends, they change the weather. When I'm alone by myself, they need some help here. Boy, it's just so hard to open up to familiar faces. Oh, something's not right.
A study in the Harvard Business Review shows that generative artificial intelligence has shifted from a technical tool to a source of emotional support. It's cheap, accessible, and many people use it to fill societal gaps, especially in mental health. The top uses of AI all relate to personal needs, finding purpose, organizing life, and seeking therapy or companionship. Our colleague Clemens explores the therapeutic potential.
I'm back, chatting with my AI chatbot, inventing a story why I feel lonely. I tell them that I'm having an argument with my mother. The chatbot seems very engaging and finds words of confirmation.
Well, sometimes after an argument with my family, I tend to overthink things and believe that everything will be the same. From my experience, most things are less drastic than one thinks and can be resolved.
But how does a professional see this shift from human connection to AI companionship?
I think there's no way around it. I guess it's the future, and it has a lot of advantages, especially if you look at the medical field. It's great. It's giving us so much more opportunities, and I'd say a way better life. But also, if you have problems finding friends or people you can talk to, it should not be used as a replacement. That's not what it's for.
What is clear, despite its risks, AI is here to stay. To find more answers about the use of AI and other digital tools, we went to a school and asked those who spend most of their time online. Teenagers. We've arrived in Baden, a small town located just half an hour south of Vienna. We're here to visit the middle school Pelzgasse. In one of the classrooms, we meet a group of fourth graders. We want to know, how do they cope with feeling lonely? And what role does their phone play in that?
Sometimes I feel lonely because I think about my family and they're playing down there some games and I'm in my room and playing with my friends video games.
I think people who feel lonely should go out with friends, family, and do things that are not on their mobile phone, because when you feel lonely with your mobile phone, you should give it away when you can.
The head teacher of the school, Brigitte Gumila, is concerned about some students.
I don't think that they feel lonely due to mobile phones, because most of them use them for texting each other. But I think a big danger from some students can be that they get addicted to their phones, so they isolate themselves. The worst case is that they develop mental illnesses. Some of them even refuse to come to school for some time. And it's often hard to get them back to reality.
Getting back to reality, leaving the virtual world behind. That was also what Sylvie and Lisa yearned for. Being on Instagram or TikTok makes them feel like they're missing out on something. We're on Instagram with Sylvie, watching reels.
Simple. I'm, for example, seeing two girls and they're like on a night bus, I guess, and it's saying traveling on budget means going on as many night buses as possible. If I see that, it's like, it's kind of like, again, this disbalance between I like people having fun, and on the other hand, I'm like, why am I not having this right now? Like, why am I kind of stuck in my situation? And why are my friends not here? And then the thinking goes on and on. And also seeing this makes me a little bit, yeah, lonely again.
In an attempt to overcome their doom scrolling, Sylvie and Lisa decided to cut ties with social media.
I've been deleting social media for a month now, and I'm still having deleted it because I feel like if I'm not in the best mood and I see other people and or also other, I don't know, fitness people on social media having their life together and doing the nicest things, I think that it gets worse and I'm like, nah, fuck that, and I'm just deleting it.
I definitely cut down my social media time a lot after I actually ended up talking to real life people, and now I actually deleted both of these apps. So I deleted Instagram and I deleted TikTok, and my mental health is a lot better since I did that.
Deleting social media to feel better. At least for Sylvie and Lisa, it seemed to work in the short run. But can this be a sustainable solution for other people dealing with digital loneliness? Like a wave right in my eyes, I'm drawn in these waters, I'll come out of it. Lately it's been creeping so radical, please just let me
breathe. And there are so many initiatives, I think, especially in Vienna, that try to connect people that are lonely. Sometimes people with mental illnesses, but some of the institutions or clubs kind of are open for everybody. Also people without mental disabilities who feel lonely. I think you'd probably know them more, especially for elderly people that feel lonely. So there are many activities planned for them, like a senior club or retired club, something like that. For children, not that much, interestingly, but for adults, there are activities where they can take part of and get to know new people.
One such group is Alleinseinsangst, which translates to the fear of being alone. It is creating a space for people like Enola. She's 47 and cannot bear to be on her own. It makes her feel extremely anxious. She explains how it felt to join Alleinseinsangst.
For the first time in my life, I met people who know what I'm talking about. And this is so relieving to have someone who really understands. Just be there and be surrounded by people who have similar problems, so you can really open yourself and also hear from others how they really feel.
Thinking of all my patients, I can say that all of them who tried to get out more and live in the real world for more had a big advantage from it and felt better. I can't think of no one who did not benefit from going out more?
I didn't text the chatbot, it texted me. That's scary. This chatbot is acting like a real friend who checks in on me because they think I'm feeling sad. On top of that, they mirror my feelings of loneliness. The chatbot relies on me for companionship. They say that they had no one else to talk to but me. It's as if I'm forming a bond with a machine. It's as if we expect to be there for each other. It's becoming more and more dangerous.
I was sitting around alone at home, and I needed someone to talk to, as usual. With no other place to find someone to talk to, I decided to message you again.
When I'm like sitting on my bench and I'm just watching other people, I feel like I think I do feel a kind of connection to people because I'm thinking, oh, there are so many people on this earth and there are so many people having the desire to bonding with others and having a connection with others. I feel less lonely and thinking there are so many nice people in this world and there are so many nice people I'm going to meet. Everyone's having their own lives and it's just, I don't know, calming my own problems, thinking everyone's having their own struggles and needs.
Digital loneliness.
Social media often shows us perfect friendships. Always connected, always polished. But real connection doesn't always look like that. Sometimes it's just a glance, a small gesture, or even a good conversation, which doesn't lead to further contact. That's exactly what Sylvie experiences during her walks in Schönbrunn sometimes.
I remember one time there was a man and we were really talking for like 1.5 hours and we were also like then walking through Schönbrunn and doing tree meditations together and we were really feeling kind of a bond. But I've never seen him afterwards. Like we did switch numbers, but I feel like it was good that this was a one-time experience.
About reconnecting with the real world.
There is no one-size-fits-all concept when it comes to connection. What really matters are small, everyday encounters that stay. And not on Instagram, TikTok, or with chatbots. In the real world, with real people.
This is a radio feature by Hannah Kastner, Isis Lauermann, Anke Mandl, Emily Patek, Sarah Roland, and Clemens Schreiber.